Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this is very good news, and we are wholeheartedly excited here at Wretched Radio. Many, many people are getting saved online because of coronavirus and the internet.
Todd,
and so we are rejoicing.
Like,
yeah, what?
Please blink twice if you're being held at gunpoint.
Why do you sound like Keanu Reeves?
Because I'm feigning joy at a Christianity Today headline indicating millions of people are getting saved online. Oh, if it were only true. Decided to go looking at the links that they provided at this Christianity Today report, a rather lengthy one, about online converts. Hundreds of thousands of people getting saved because of coronavirus.
That's a lot.
It is a lot of people. Let me tell you something. If these statistics continue, the world's going to be saved in about 8 more days.
Thinking
if
Tuesday.
Only yeah. It were true. This is another demonstration that we have biffed it on the fundamentals of the faith, starting with the gospel itself. It has been watered down. It has been altered. Sharp edges have been totally shaved off. Any point has been blunted to make it soothing and to help those for whatever their need might be, to the Christianity Today article. In the Philippines, a woman named Grace found herself on a website about coronavirus by an internet evangelism organization, one of the big three that they cite in this article. Quote, "Please help me to not worry about everything," she wrote to a volunteer counselor. "What's happening now is very confusing." The counselor explained that only Jesus can bring lasting peace, and Grace received Jesus as her savior. Now, I don't know the whole conversation, but much of this is a gospel that is presented to fill the need of those who are hurting. If you're afraid of coronavirus, come to Jesus Christ. If you've just had a divorce, come to Jesus Christ. If you've lost your fortune, come to Jesus Christ. He's going to take care of every single problem that you have. The problem is they aren't presenting the gospel. Pastor Mark Pennock, in a 2013 doctoral dissertation at Dallas Baptist University, studied converts who came to Christ through evangelistic websites. He did 37 interviews. Now, that's not a lot, but they were supposedly in-depth. And he determined all his subjects experienced an impassable quandary, like a divorce, job loss, financial crisis, that left them searching and questioning. Now, that's good. God will pull the rug out from under anybody to get their attention. But it's not that he wants them to come to him so that the rug can be replaced. He wants to get their attention so that they recognize you're at the end of your rope because I hold the rope. And one day I'm going to pull your rope in and I am going to judge you for every thought, word, and deed. And if you are not hidden in the cleft of the rock, my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will grind you to powder. 86% said finding a Christian website was unplanned, but out of their own initiative. About 75% had a personal dysfunction and addiction issue prior to their online conversion. So what do these websites do, at least the ones that are cited here? What's your problem? Oh, you're an alcoholic. Jesus will help you. Oh, you lost your money. Jesus, he'll be your peace. Don't you worry. And he might even give it all back. Back in the United States, that was the Philippines anecdote. In the United States, a volunteer chatted online with a young mother named Brittany, who worried that COVID-19 would take her life and her children's lives. The volunteer offered hope and peace, and Brittany, too, accepted Christ. Boom, boom, boom. Look, we're doing it all wrong here. We're just laboring with the wrong tools, apparently. It's a piece of cake. Oh, wait a second. Maybe this should have been the headline. Only a fraction of those who come to faith online engage in follow-up discussions or report joining a local church. Oops, there's a tell. And this has been going on. Now, they do, to their credit, talk about this inside of this Christianity Today article, that people from crusades, from large evangelistic outreaches, from online interneting to try to evangelize people, they can't find them in a church. That's a bad sign. They can't find them doing any sort of follow-up. They're not connected. In other words, they're not walking in the faith because they never entered the faith. In the first 4 weeks, 173,000 people. This is a website that was set up in English, Spanish, Portuguese, Korean, Mandarin, Chinese, and Arabic to help people deal with their fears of corona. 173,000 people visited their websites. More than 10,000 clicked a button indicating they made a decision for Christ. We just can't find them now. Why? Because they're not getting the gospel. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I clicked on the links. I'd like to read to you exactly what it is that they are telling people at these websites. And let me tell you something. It ain't the gospel. This is from one of the biggies. Fear. Who can protect you? Fear and anxiety are common reactions occurring across the world during the current crisis. This is the time to reflect and ask important questions like, how do I respond to this? How do I handle these feelings of fear? Jesus wants to be with you. There's someone who can be your comforter no matter what the situation is, and his name is Jesus. So come to Jesus, your great big cosmic cuddle blanket. That's the way the gospel is presented. The comfort and peace that Jesus offered isn't about saving us from disease. His promise is that we and our family can have peace and eternal life, regardless of the challenges in our lives, because he sacrificed his life for ours. Okay, nothing about Jesus, nothing about sin. We sacrificed our life for it. This makes no sense. This is all assumptive. And just because somebody slaps something on a fear-based gospel presentation, come to Jesus for one of the benefits, but don't come to Jesus because you want to come to Jesus, it doesn't make it a gospel presentation. Imagine you're an Etch-a-Sketch, total blank slate. Would this make sense? Why would you be encouraged to come to Jesus? He sacrificed his life for ours. Well, I don't totally get that, but I guess he'll make me feel better. Back to the article. In our broken world, diseases exist and cause pain and suffering. But God didn't leave us without hope. He sent his son Jesus. So what's Jesus supposed to help us with? Our broken world and our diseases and our pain and suffering. Nothing about the wrath of God being satisfied. He sent his son Jesus to come and live a perfect life and die on a cross in our place. Why? What does substitutionary atonement have to do with me being afraid of corona? He rose from the dead 3 days later and is now in heaven with God. Okay, so who is this Jesus? He's with God, I guess. So he's a man. He was a son of God. Did God have a baby? Does any of this make sense? No, it doesn't. No wonder why the statistics are what they are. Jesus offers you the free gift of salvation and forgiveness for you and your family for the wrongs that we have all done. Does that help it? No, it doesn't help it. It's cryptic. It's watered down. It has nothing to do with the judicial aspect of the Christian gospel. You can accept this gift by admitting your need for forgiveness. If you believe he died for you and that he rose from the dead, you can put your trust in him and follow him as your Lord. He calms fears. There it is. Come to him to have your fears calmed. If you believe in Jesus, his promise that he is with you always and can calm your fears in scary times, knowing he's in control and he is good reassures us that he can protect us and our family because he's Lord over all. Oh, so my family won't get corona if I believe in Jesus? Sign me up. And you don't have to fear death anymore because you'll know that you'll be with him for eternity. How does Jesus help you if you're afraid? The Bible says, don't be anxious. So here's how you start trusting him. If you want to give authority to God so you don't have to carry your fear, anxiety, or worry, you can start by praying something like this. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. Without you, I'm full of fear and anxiety. With you, I have a good Father to trust with my life. Right now and eternally, I admit that I do things that are wrong and need your forgiveness. Would you forgive my sins? Oh, that word just appeared in the salvation prayer. I want to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you pray this prayer? Congratulations. We'll use you as a statistic to demonstrate we're doing online evangelism. Nonsense. You say, well, that's just a one-off. They're not all that way. All right, let's try another one. Shall we? Step one, God loves you and has a plan for you. Oh, that's good news because I've got a plan for me too. Step two, here's the problem. People are sinful and separated from God. What? Who are you calling a sinner? We've all done, thought, or said bad things. The Bible calls it sin. The result of sin is death, spiritual separation from God. I'm down with spiritual separation from God. I'm not that nuts about him, but I'm glad that he's got a plan for me like I've got for me too. God sent his son to die for your sins. He died in your place so you could have a relationship with God. Why? Who's Jesus? What's God so upset about this? Doesn't seem right. Oh, wait a second, you say. You're just cherry-picking these bad gospel presentations. How's about the other website that's mentioned in this article that the whole world is getting saved about gay, lesbian, and God's love? Don't worry. God loves you just the way you are. And so while I'd like to be really, really happy and excited that everybody's getting saved on the internet without a correct gospel presentation, all we're doing is making false converts. Isn't that nice? This is Wretched Radio. First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is Wretched's latest evangelistic resource, perfect for sharing with those who don't understand who Jesus is.
People love to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Phil Johnson, what would be one proof that Jesus Christ is God?
The calendar is based on it.
That's a pretty big proof, but we have compiled 21 more proofs Jesus is God in a booklet titled The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know somebody who needs to know Jesus. Get your copies. Terrific evangelistic booklet. Wretched.org/22.
The Man Who Split Time is a must read for every skeptic. So we challenge you. Get it. Read it. Then give it away. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copy at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
Imagine, it's Sunday morning. The alarm clock rings. Bring.
Sorry, we got a budget. We don't have much for sound effects here.
Bring. The alarm bell goes off. You jump out of bed, excited to get ready for a day at church. You put your little gaggle into the minivan. You arrive at church. You greet everybody happily. You sit down, but wait. There's no pastor. That is what it is like for thousands and thousands of Christians in thousands of churches. They have buildings, they have pulpits, and no shepherds to fill them. We can change that by supporting the Master's Academy International, many seminaries around the globe. Visit wretched.org/pastor. Pick your favorite country and adopt a seminary, and let's fill pulpits together. Wretched.org/pastor.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Books of the Bible. Philippians was written by Paul from a Roman prison. It is often called the Epistle of Joy for its encouraging tone. In this letter, Paul encourages the Philippians to live in a manner worthy of the gospel by steadfastness and humility in Christ and cheerful obedience to God, who is working in us to bring about his good pleasure. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
60,000 times 365. Cool! 21,900,000 false converts were created last year. Cool! This is Wretched Radio. I've just been reminded this subject makes me a little bit sour. The number of false conversions that have been created from lame and deficient and non-biblical godly presentations should cause us to grieve and shout it out and say, no, that is not the gospel. Stop deceiving people. You're making their latter end worse than the first. And this is going on perhaps in an unprecedented way online. Christianity Today, they wrote a lengthy article. Describing three major websites that are bragging about all the people who are getting saved out there. One of them, who delivers the website in a way that nobody could understand if they didn't know the basics of the Christian faith. 60,000 people per day indicated that they'd made decisions for Jesus Christ last year. That's on one website. That's 21,900,000 people. And yet, the kookiest thing, they could only find 5,244 of them connected with a local church after beginning their journey with Christ. How's about because they didn't begin a journey with Christ? Because the law was never opened up? Because the character and the nature of God was never described? Because his settled wrath against sin was never presented in a way that is actually reasonable? That Jesus Christ was sent by God, who is rich in mercy, who loves to save sinners, satisfied his wrath by sending his son to die for us while we were yet sinning, but he didn't stay in a grave. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God, and he commands you this day to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Without it, you will be damned. And how do sinners get there, by the way? Jesus said, don't fear man who can merely kill the body. Fear God who can kill the body and send you to hell. These days, here's another evangelical line. Oh, God doesn't send us to hell. Our sins do. Well, of course, our sins are the reason that we are guilty. But our sins, they don't have a car, some sort of tram system that takes sinners to hell. God casts people into hell, but he's rich in mercy, and he desires to save sinners, and he demonstrated it by dying for us, and it is not a magnificent sacrificial death. If we do not understand what he was doing on that cross, it was more than just getting crucified, as if that weren't bad enough. Receiving the wrath of God on our behalf, the sins that you and I have committed, placed on his beloved son, the diamond of heaven, died for me, for you. That's amazing grace. These gospel presentations at these websites, they are a confused, muddled, watered down mess. And no wonder that the success rate is so abysmal, at least to the credit of Christianity Today in this article. They point out 5,000. Wait a sec. Now I've got to do some more math. Hold on. I've got my math thingy.
They didn't say there'd be math.
Do you remember when your math teacher said you're not going to be able to carry a calculator with you everywhere you go? Well, here I am.
That's why I got into radio. There was
okay.
No math.
So here's the success rate of the. Now, can we admit that somebody makes a profession of faith? If we can't find them acting like a Christian, belonging to a church, it's a sign that they actually didn't get saved. Can we agree to that? So based on these numbers, 5,244 people were connected to a local church out of 60,000 per day, which is 21,900,000. That would be a success rate of 0.00023. That is dreadful. Why is this happening? Because they're not presenting the gospel. Here's one of the sites that brags of high success rates. There were several different things you could click on. Are you afraid of coronavirus? What about sex and the Christian? How does that work out? I thought I would try the Gay, Lesbian, and God's Love website, the little article that they had. At what point do you know that God fully accepts you? Unlike anything else you've encountered, a relationship with God does not begin with you filling in the blank. Accept me because. It starts with God saying, I accept you. I welcome you. Oh, God is just so lonely without us. He just wants to be with us so bad. Whether you are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or have questions, God is not your enemy. Oh, yes, he is. Everyone is God's enemy unless they're in Christ. If you've not already begun one, God wants a relationship with you. He offers this to anyone and everyone. Now, does it go on to say that homosexuals can be saved and forgiven of their sins? No, it doesn't actually, because this is all about God just loving you and accepting you. This is one of the articles at one of the websites where everybody's getting saved online. Why am I so agitated by this? Because this is what Jesus died for, and these websites turn it into a complete dog's breakfast, and people aren't getting saved. They're getting deceived, and their latter end is worse than the first, and you and I are going to run into them and try to witness to them, and they're going to chew their gum and say, I tried that. Didn't work for me. This is not something that should be tolerated. This is the basics. Go to your mechanic. And when you say, you know, could you check the engine? Yeah, we can give it a go. And could you check the oil? Well, not exactly sure how to do that, but we'll give it a go. And they put windshield fluid into your oil tank thing, gasket. I don't want to get all mechanical with you, but they don't even know how to change the oil. You'd go, what kind of a... Take down your sign. Exactly. Take down your website. Take down your church sign. If you don't know how to preach the gospel, the basics of the Christian faith, you're in the wrong business. And I chose that word intentionally. In Scripture, you'll see only one group that consistently angered Jesus, the religious self-righteous. Oh, I see. So this little table got turned. So not only is God happy with people who are living in unrepentant sexual sin, he's mad at those of us who say, you can't live in unrepentant sexual sin. Jesus seemed comfortable around everyone else, including prostitutes and criminals. However, the religious elite irritated and saddened Jesus. He saw them as judgmental, arrogant, unloving, and hypocritical. So not only is the one persisting in sin accepted by God, those of us who say, no, 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 you're not. You need to turn from your sins, all of them, and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and only then will you be saved. We're the bad guys. Nice. Very, very nice. And on the article goes back to Christianity Today. This is another website. One of the ministry's most effective evangelistic websites received 56 million hits last year and registered 657,000 decisions for Christ. Look at the world getting saved online. So why aren't the churches getting filled? Why? Have you pondered this lately? Have you considered this? There are 350,000 Protestant churches, give or take, in this country. We don't know. There are so many. We don't know. And they are closed for business. Has the world felt that sting? Nope, it hasn't. Christians shuttered behind closed doors. Anybody feeling the pinch of not having Christians in our culture? Why is it so big on the surface and so dead internally? This is a big reason right here. The greatest difficulty with online evangelism is follow-up. Yet the difficulty of following up with those who profess faith isn't unique to internet evangelism. The same trouble has dogged crusades and other forms of mass evangelism. That's Ed Stetzer saying that. This has been everybody's weak point for the last 100 years. That's, they'll tell you, too, people who do these big evangelistic events, this is not a secret. Ray Comfort, he has these statistics in Hell's Best Kept Secret, the book Hell's Best Kept Secret. I use them for Are You a Rotten Fish? Because this is such an issue. If you don't have rotten fish, I encourage you to get it. Give it to your kids to read. Give it to your Sunday school kids. Give it to the youth group kids. Give it away to a stranger. Because so many people have become Christians online or through a crusade and they don't know the gospel. Jesus spoke about it constantly. And inside Are You a Rotten Fish, which you can get, wretched.org/fish. It talks about the statistics that Ray Comfort has. The follow-up rate from crusades, it's abysmal. This has been everybody's weak point for the last 100 years. Follow-up. But we shouldn't pull away because this is the challenge. We should try to address it with stronger bonds to local churches. Or we improve our gospel presentation. Yep, we lose our bragging rights, but we stop creating so many false converts. And how's about this? Instead of closer relationship with the churches, how's about the churches start doing it? How's about the churches start going and making disciples, individuals, sharing the faith one-on-one evangelistically like we are called to do, and not to leave it up to people on the internet who can create a really super attractive website who don't even know the gospel. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. With most abortions in Texas on hold because of the COVID-19 outbreak, more patients are turning to pro-life pregnancy centers like the Hope Women's Resource Clinic in Beaumont. Jeanette Harvey is the Hope Clinic's executive director. She says the number of abortion calls has increased double easily, if not more than double. The influx of clients reflects what other pro-life pregnancy help organizations have noticed since the COVID-19 pandemic hit the U.S., Heartbeat International has seen a rise in calls to its option line. The National Institute of Family and Life Advocates polled 473 affiliate pregnancy centers in a COVID-19 webinar last week. 42% reported increase in patients interested in abortion. States like Alabama, Ohio, Oklahoma, and Texas have ordered abortion centers to close as non-essential businesses during the pandemic, spurring court battles with pro-abortion groups. But most state and local governments consider pro-life pregnancy centers essential. Almost half of the 66 pregnancy centers that work with the pro-life group Save the Storks have had to close their doors during the outbreak. But according to the NIFLA, only one was because of government mandate. 4 or 5 of its centers closed because authorities classified them as non-essential. But the coronavirus has still put a strain on pregnancy center operations. About half of the NIFLA centers polled are operating with modified staffing and hours. Staff shortages have caused most of the closures among centers that work with Save the Storks. Clinics have had to limit the number of patients each day to guard against spreading the virus. Jeanette Harvey, the executive director at Hope Clinic, said, quote, "We're not really seeing a change in the reason why women are seeking an abortion." Her clinic has only seen one patient who was concerned about COVID-19 specifically. Some have a sense of urgency because they fear that abortion won't be available to them, but most face the same usual old pressures, financial or material concerns, fears about the future, or pressure from a partner. Around the U.S., in Ohio, the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, April 6th, upheld a temporary restraining order to prevent the state from limiting abortions during the pandemic. A federal judge in Oklahoma blocked an executive order that would have paused abortions in the state during the COVID-19 outbreak. While in Alaska, the state included surgical abortion on their list of procedures that providers could now postpone because of the pandemic. And an update out of Louisville, a federal judge's decision halting a ban on drive-in church services being applauded by Christian leaders. Mayor Greg Fisher last week said drive-in church services wouldn't be allowed during the COVID-19 pandemic, but On Fire Christian Church, a local congregation, quickly filed suit in federal court. Last Saturday, a federal judge, Justin Walker, issued a temporary restraining order against the mayor's prohibition, saying the church had demonstrated a strong likelihood that they would win their case on its merits. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Important dates in Christian history. 1735. The Great Awakening under Jonathan Edwards stirs the American colonies with many conversions and individual returns to heartfelt faith. Because of this awakening, a number of divinity schools were founded, including Princeton, Dartmouth, and Rutgers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you doing okay there, Todd?
Actually about to pass out. This is Wretched Radio. Not doing mindfulness, just trying to calm down websites that do not present the gospel rightly and then brag about their evangelistic successes. Whew, that tends to be a sore spot for me. Not for the least of which reason. I'll work on that sentence structure later. This is an article at Crossway from Paul Tedtrip. One of the mustache boys, one of the Tripp brothers, 5 ways the COVID-19 pandemic points us to the gospel. This is hope. This is what God wants to do for us in this. Not to put a little evangelistic presentation. Hey, don't be afraid because God's got you. Doesn't feel like it. People are dying around me. People are getting sick. Hey, I don't have a way to pay my rent this month. God's, well, don't worry. Say this prayer and you're good to go. Can't guarantee anything, but gotta go. Can I write you down? Did you pray the prayer? Can I put you down as a statistic? Because we got to keep donations up here. Number one, it is good to be confronted with the delusion of human independence and self-sufficiency. I wonder if anybody is saying that on some of these hotlines. Hey, I'm scared to die. This COVID thing, it's really got me nervous. Well, you know, Jesus doesn't want you to be afraid. So why don't you say this prayer? How's about this? You know what? It is so good that you are coming to your senses. God is getting your attention. It is so much better that you hear his voice today and not on the day of judgment. Because if you think COVID is scary, wait till you meet the God who controls COVID. Wait until you meet the one who can destroy the world with fire, and he will. But he won't destroy the books that contain all of the sins that you've committed against him. This God is wanting to be our safe harbor. God wants us to come to our senses and get our thinking straight about this. And we don't do people a favor when we water this down. Oh, you know, God, there was another article at some website, big evangelistic website. Hey, isn't it good to know that God, he's got emotions too, don't you know? So much for the impassibility of God. Yes, God has emotions, but he's not emotional. This article at a mainstream evangelical website, doesn't it feel good to know that God is crying in heaven? He's really sad about this. Honestly, the way that we present God. Now, does God delight in people getting COVID? Of course he does not. God does not delight in the death of the wicked. That is not what brings him joy. But to present God like he's what am I going to do about the corona business and people are getting sick and they can't go out of their houses? Doesn't that make you feel good to know? No, it doesn't. I'd like God to be seated on the throne in control of every single thing in the universe. Thank you very much. That's the God that I can take comfort in. That's the God that I can say, he's in control. He is good. I know it because he sent his son to die for sinners. I can rest in that because he's got this. I would make a hash of it. God has got it. And he's got me. And my name is written in his book. I can have peace that surpasses all understanding. It reminds us that we are created to be dependent on the Creator. That's one of the messages of COVID. If you think that you are safe, if you think that you can keep yourself alive, if you think that a mask is going to keep you healthy, it is God who keeps you healthy. Yes, he gives us those things. Yes, you can wear them if you choose to. Fine. But if God has determined today's the day, it's your day. And if God has determined you're going to live, you can, you're walking down the street. There's a guy with a t-shirt on, and on the back it says, I've got COVID real bad. And he hawks one up and spits on the sidewalk. And you can go swim in that spittle. And if God doesn't want you to get corona, you're not going to get it. He's in control. He's got you. Rest in him. Trust him. Believe his promises for you. And they're not promises of perfect health, but they're promises to always do what is best for you. Are you getting that message? Number two, the greater global pandemic is not COVID-19. It's sin. It gets everyone. From birth, you got it. Romans 5. The deepest, darkest infection. It's the ultimate disease. It is called sin. More dangerous, more destructive than COVID-19 will ever be. But there's a cure. The Lord Jesus Christ will cure you of your sin disease, and he will make you white as snow, and he will bring you to heaven with him when he determines it is your time. Are we hearing messages like this from these evangelistic websites? Number four, I know I'm skipping. Though we are separated from others, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Are we hearing that message through COVID? I sure hope so. Gratitude is a defense. One of the most powerful defenses against fear is gratitude. Now, this is some practical help for you if you're still fearing corona. The more your heart is directed toward gratitude, the more you're counting your blessings, the less your mind is running to fear and rehearsing the what ifs. Be grateful. Sing praises to God. Give thanks with a grateful heart. You won't be consumed with fear anymore. Think of his blessings. And if you say, I'm in tatters, my house is in jeopardy, my clothes, they're shredded, I don't have a job. Those aren't his promises that are rich and lovely. His promises are his presence. His promises are his forgiveness. His promise is shalom. Those are better. Thank him for those things. How about intentionally looking around at all the things for which today you can give thanks? All the evidences of God's provision, all the evidences of his care, all the people that love you, all those things which you would take for granted. How's about counting your blessings? How's about letting praise overwhelm complaint and gratitude silence grumbling? That is practical help. Have you been doing that? Now, perhaps you're locked up in your house. And you haven't been able to go out. How could you sing to the Lord today? Seriously. You maybe will hear this and go, this seems like rather trite advice. It's not. Go find a great song. Go find a hymn that you love. Start singing it. And just see if that doesn't change your tune. It will. You sing God's, and your tune will be changed. That's the way it works, because you are engaging in the highest form of communication a human being can ever endeavor to participate in. You're not just speaking physics. You're not talking about a science formula. Interesting. Oh, that's how God operates the universe. No. You take theology that is correct about God. You set it to music and you sing it to him. And you just see if God doesn't affect a change in your heart. He will. He does. Where could you do that? Joey, you're going to laugh at this. There was somebody. I know. Gabe Hughes, when he was tweeting, I was reading his tweet machine. Gabe, he's Mr. Wawat, Pastor Wawat, when we understand the text. And he was listing the top songs from the 90s. I don't remember those being. I remember the 90s in Christian worship. It was infiltrated a lot by people who were not great theologians, But there was a lot of great stuff that was being written back then that was worshipful, that actually had choruses, and it actually had some soundness to it. I thought the 90s, Joey, was actually quite good for Christian worship music.
I did too, but I was really young, so I don't know if I was really aware.
Paying much attention? You know, okay. We had the Hymns Channel on in our house. Stephen Curtis Chapman even wrote some decent stuff back then. I mean, some of it, you know, is early stuff. Saddle Up Your Horses, We Got a Trail to Blaze, what have you. He wrote some nice stuff. Twyla Paris sang some worshipful. Remember Twyla Paris? I wonder what she's doing these days. She did some good stuff. Here's another guy that was I Surrender All. Clay Cross was singing some good song. You know, by the way, Clay Cross is actually the worship pastor at First Baptist Church in Bentonville, Arkansas. How do you remember that, Todd? That's because that's where Walmart is headquartered. And there was a Teach Them Diligently conference there once. If you are fearful, if you are not remembering these truths, I would challenge you. Find a way. All right, put your earphones on. Close your eyes so you can pay attention. And just listen to the sing along in your heart. And if you have been fearful of what is going on in our world, I'm telling you, you will find comfort. Here's your money-back guarantee. Try it. And if you are not filled with some joy and some peace when you are done listening to theologically sound music being sung worshipfully, then we will give you your money back. In fact, Tony and Joey, did you just say into my earphones that you'd be willing to double their money back?
No. I said no such thing.
It's safe. They haven't.
No.
Didn't spend any money on this. Friel, that's obvious. We're getting our money's worth. This is Wretched Radio. Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Thanks for being here today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. Two more thank yous. One to our gospel partners for making all of this possible. And two, to all of you who have sent us questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, and shared your wretched stories with us. We do truly appreciate that. This is an email from Craig who said, just a note of humble thanks and appreciation for all you and the others do with your ministry. The videos and the topics that are discussed are done in a beautiful way to help make it clearer. It's been an enormous encouragement for me and has helped to settle some questions I've had for some time. Thank you all for being willing and loving servants, Craig. Not only are notes like this greatly encouraging to us here, but to our gospel partners as well who make all of this possible. So if you have a question, a comment, or a story to share, idea@wretched.org or beeptalk 1-877-282-BEEP. If you can help make more stories like this possible, go to wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If and you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched. preborn.org/wretched.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of worship music, this is Wretched Radio. Not going to mention the fellow's name because we don't, even though this is a good story, a hopeful story. Not going to mention names because we're going to give it time. There is a famous individual who has been singing in the New Apostolic Reformation movement, a very big player in the NAR. And he has been posting that some changes have been taking place in his life. And I read it and I went, wow, that is really, really hopeful. That is really, really good. Is it really, really true? Time will tell. I hope that it is. But we just don't want to jump onto the, yay, another celebrity gets saved, or yay, somebody. We just give it time. That's all. And praise God. But nevertheless, you might be encouraged because I'm telling you, this guy, major in the New Apostolic Reformation worship movement, which is a massive contributor to so much false teaching out there. You know, just be encouraged by this. So much of this is so helpful. I find myself, this musician tweeted, increasingly troubled when I look at Western Christian culture and see such a startling lack of representation or instruction on, all caps, vital teachings in Scripture, particularly the passages that warn and admonish. It troubles me that teachings on these passages are virtually non-existent in modern preaching. But if I sit down and just read a couple of chapters of Scripture, they're so prevalent I can't escape them. And I'm not talking about Old Testament. I'm talking about the teachings of Jesus, his apostles, Peter, James, John, Paul. Those guys. So much heresy is running rampant in the church. Now, you need to remember, this guy was in the thick of that. This is wonderful to read. So much heresy is running rampant in the church because we're not clearly preaching the reality of eternal judgment, the reality of heaven and hell, or the frequent commands concerning holiness, godliness, purity, and true Jesus apprenticeship. I don't know quite how we got here, but somehow we've created Christian cultures that edit scriptures, remove the gravity of his holy commandments, and numb people's ears to real truth. Wow and wow. God has clearly been teaching this fellow. If you want a glimpse in the last 2 years of my life, it has mostly been about deep and ongoing repentance as I've let his words pierce me, at times even terrify me, real fear and trembling, deep grieving over my sin and brokenness, and not once was it disconnected from his love, mercy, and goodness. In fact, I felt all of those things the strongest in the midst of it. His truth is merciful. His truth is love. His truth is good. But oh, the warfare over truth in our lives. How great our need of his discipline. I'm not wagging a crooked judgmental finger. I literally write this in tears. My loving appeal in this. Read scripture as though your life depended on it. Not a paraphrase. They're helpful commentaries, but should never replace the reading of the Bible. I suspect he's going after the Passion Translation there, if I had to guess. Don't read a paraphrase, which, by the way, was sent an email. This, got to give Nathan credit. An interesting tidbit I noticed, he writes, the Message Bible, the translation, it's a paraphrase, a complete paraphrase, is abbreviated MSG, which is also the name for fake salt. Same thing with the Awful Passion translation. So who is this fellow? Let's leave him alone. Let's see what sort of fruit is born from this, but it appears that God is working on him. He continued, one last point, just a quick follow-up to my last post. I'll be incrementally unpacking my thoughts. There is only so much you can say in two paragraphs. I'm not a huge fan of labels, but call me basically a Bible thumper. I'm into all that stuff. This is very encouraging. And we pray that it is true, because this fellow could lead a lot of people out of delusion and false teaching. Pray for that guy. Even though you don't know his name, the Lord does. And let's see what sort of fruit it bears. And please, the reason that I'm keeping this like on the down low, I think that's the cool term the kids still use, if I'm not mistaken.
Not in 20 years.
By the way, did you know the word minute doesn't mean minute anymore? And it can mean long time, or it can mean a short time, depending on how you put the emphasis. I don't quite follow this, but that thing took a minute. Yeah, it took 60 seconds, so it took a short amount of time.
You know, I don't believe you. I'm going to look it up, just a sec.
Yeah, okay. Okay, but just a minute. But that took a minute. That actually means a long time. That took a minute. But I don't know if that's a short time or a long time. You know, words have meanings. Can we just stick with 60 seconds, please? The Bible does use some language like that. It does use numbers to indicate it's a long period, especially in the book of Revelation, long period of time, short period of time. But this minute thing has me entirely confused. The reason that I'm not sharing the fellow's name, do you remember that guy? Kanye West. Everybody was so excited. Well, look at where he's landed. Look at the theological tribe that, can I use the word theology with that group of folks? He's hanging out with people. You'd go, well, no. We were so hopeful, and everybody was so excited, and everybody was so celebratory, and everybody was using him as some sort of an evangelistic tool. Give it time. That's all. Just let it be. And the same thing is true with this fellow. Hoping. Speaking of famous evangelicals, Francis Chan was doing what everybody else is doing, the Skype deal that we're using these days. And he actually brought something up that I thought, well, that's worth a consideration. Talking about the pandemic, he said it's a good time to repent. God might not want church to go back to usual. All right, so what does the new normal look like? We're not doing church as a big gathering anymore. We're doing it in our homes, really just with our families. Now, Francis Chan has been a big fan of home church movement now for a number of years since he left his church. He started up a home church movement, and I don't know how it's doing, frankly, but he's off to Myanmar, if I'm not mistaken. Is that where the church is going? Back to the house church. Is there anything wrong with the house church? And the answer is no. There's nothing wrong with it. There can be problems like accountability, like training. It can become cultic very quickly. Doesn't have to, but it becomes a very practical issue very, very quickly. This is why we have what we have. And it's interesting. The people who love the home church thing are quick to say, hey, church isn't about buildings. We meet at home, which is a building. Nevertheless, from a practical standpoint, let's just say you've got a godly man who is preaching, he's teaching the word, there's even church discipline involved in the home church. You know what's going to happen, don't you? Hey, neighbor, you want to come? I think I'd like to. Maybe the person comes, and then he invites a neighbor, and that neighbor comes. And all of a sudden, that house is getting really crowded. So we ask the question, who's got a bigger house? Well, Bill's got a bigger house, so we go to Bill's house. And people keep inviting people to this wonderful home church, and suddenly it's getting really crowded at Bill's house, so we start asking questions like, well, what should we do? I mean, we all think that maybe we should be downsizing soon anyway, so I guess we could rent space at the Holiday Inn. And so they go to the Holiday Inn to rent space as the home church. But they start taking a look at the finances, and it's expensive to rent the Holiday Inn. And Bill, who's got a pretty big house for a good reason, he knows numbers and business, that fellow. He brings it to the attention of the elder board, which it should have if you're going to have an actual biblical church, elders that are leading it. You know what? We're paying for rent here at the Holiday Inn, and they want to jack up the rates again. You know, there's a building down the street that we could buy, and it has a playground so the kids could be playing. It's even got a kitchen, so I'll bring our little potluck and have it in the fridge. And the next thing you know, you got a sign up front that says, not Not a church, but a home church, even though it's meeting. And it isn't about the building. It's just a practical issue. And so maybe it is going to be a bit of a trend where more people go to a house church model. Perhaps make sure that there's solid preaching, that church discipline is taking place, that the sacraments, the ordinances of the church, two of them, they are being administered, and make sure that there's some accountability. And then when you go and buy a building, we all understand, and we won't point a finger and cluck our tongues. Will we? No, we won't. There's gonna be a lot of new normals going on out there. By the way, the church, undoubtedly you read about this in Greenville, Mississippi, Temple Baptist Church, they were doing a drive-in prayer service. Apparently they had a channel everybody could tune in and listen. Police came up and gave everybody $500 fines in their cars because the mayor said, nope, can't be doing that, and threatened even to throw the pastor who's been there for 45 years, to throw him in jail. Is that a sign? Is that a wave of what things are to come, the future for the church? And the answer is, well, I have no idea. That, to me, it seems like is a one-off. You're going to have some rogue characters, just like you do with other issues. You're going to have some bad cops. You're going to have some bad mayors. You're going to have some bad politicians. But today is the only day that I know of. I don't know what it's going to look like next week. I know today, and it doesn't look like that's something that we need to be worried about. Yet. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.